announcing to everyone that Jesus is Lord and Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
That Jesus had to deal with when he walked on this earth was not physical. In other words, he was able to feed people. He was able to heal the sick. He was able to do all sorts of wonderful things for people with physical problems. But Jesus made clear that was not the primary reason for which he came. The primary reason he came in laying down his life was to set people free from their sins. The problem was people did not have the spiritual eyes to see, nor the ears to hear what he was saying. They couldn't see him. They couldn't understand him. His great work was to open eyes and unstop ears so that people would believe in him as the Savior for all of their sins. Dear listener, do you see today? Have your ears been unstopped? We're going to look at this powerful passage in Mark chapter 8, which deals with spiritual sight that Jesus has the power to give you. You should ask him that you might see him. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. Here is now the program from Mark chapter 8, which I have titled, He Opens the Eyes of the Blind. We hope Abounding Grace Radio today is a rich blessing to you.
Well, this is an extremely important section of the Bible because Jesus, when we look at the big picture of what he is doing, he is training his disciples to take his gospel message to the ends of the earth. And what we've been noticing in this section of Mark, what we have here in front of us again today, this is why I wanted you to see the big picture of this, is that he is walking them through now their own problem. I said that last time in the sermon, that the most effective workers of the Lord and servants of the Lord are able to preach to themselves. They are able to understand what their own problem is, and they have, having been received grace, are able now to help others with great compassion and understanding. And essentially, in Mark chapter 8, he is showing them and teaching them what major obstacles they are going to face that will stand in the way to being the success of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Well, those obstacles that will be a hindrance to that, that they are going to have to be aware of and that they are going to have to understand. One of the ways that he is walking them through this problem is for them to experience themselves what has been the problem of Israel. This is really important that we understand this because there has been a lingering problem that we have seen with Israel. What was the problem? Well, I was reading through some Old Testament passages, and one was made known and stood out to me from Ezekiel chapter 12. When Ezekiel was speaking years previous to this, and he made a sweeping indictment against Israel that I thought, wow, that is really big for Mark chapter 7 and 8 and what Jesus is doing here. Here was the sweeping indictment of Ezekiel 12. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see, but does not see, and ears to hear me, ears to hear, but does not hear. How many times are we going to come across this to get the point, right? It's all over the place. The only way salvation would then be possible was that the Lord would come down and he would have to remedy this problem himself. And that's exactly what Ezekiel prophesied. That's exactly what Ezekiel promised to the people, that in the midst of such deafness, in the midst of such blindness, that God himself would come, and he would come down and put a new spirit within people. And he would take out that very hard, stony heart, and he would give a heart of flesh so that people could see and hear and believe. That was the promise. The problem that we're studying in Mark is that Israel has been deaf and Israel has been blind to Jesus. And everything they have been doing has been in radical opposition to his ministry of the word and gospel. Well, following now what's happened, the disciples have been sharing in the same problem. And so where we have been since that incident in chapter 7 is Jesus takes his disciples and he departs, remember, to Gentile territory. He has been on, we don't know much about everything that he did in this period of his earthly ministry, but we know that he took them deep into Gentile territory, into what I have called dog country, remember? Syrophoenician woman who admitted she was a dog. He's deep in dog country. And this is an intense time of training his disciples. Intense time. They have been deaf. They have been blind. It's remarkable, isn't it? The disciples, this whole time. And Jesus is now about, which he's been doing since that incident in chapter 7, he is now about to train them in the message of divine grace and his power to open up eyes and unstop ears so that they would hear and see, that tongues would then be loosed to go out and take his gospel to the ends of the earth. They needed that. Now, if the disciples needed that and could walk with Jesus for an amount of time and be blinded and deaf, is it not possible that we could have many people here today who've been attending church for a long time and are blind and who are deaf? Of course. I want you to think about whether that's you. And I want you to think about what Jesus must do for you. And I want you today to bow the knee and ask him if he's willing to unstop your ears and to take away the blindness of your eyes. This is a big moment in Mark's gospel. Last time, we looked at this deaf man who was healed. Remember this? A deaf man was brought to him. Jesus takes the deaf man, pulls him aside, and remember what he does. Remember the imagery of this. Deaf man can't hear anything. In front of his disciples, he goes right in the ears, and then he spits on his hand, and he touches his tongue, and then he looks up and goes, "Ah." Deep sigh, right in front of the disciples. It's a pretty powerful sermon illustration, isn't it? It's a powerful sermon illustration of their problem. It was a spiritual kind of sign language saying to this man, "I see your problem, and I'm going to deal with it." And then he unstopped this man's ears. And remember the result of that in the last sermon, that all of a sudden the tongues were loosed, and we know this about the deaf, it affects speech. All of a sudden the tongue was loosed, and they're proclaiming everywhere, which should have been the disciples by now, proclaiming everywhere, and they were getting now a foretaste of not only their future ministry, but what they needed. Because you know your tongues will remain all stopped up until this happens, and you'll never tell anyone about Jesus. Now, ears to hear before the tongue is loosed to proclaim. It's true of the Church of Jesus Christ. The church as a whole has a certain order here. You have to have ears to hear first before you're going to do anything in the ministry. You got to be unstopped. You got to hear. And there are a lot of hearing impediments that we're finding in the Gospels. But that had led in dog country, ironically, to the fulfillment of Isaiah 35, where Jesus was here in Lebanon, and Isaiah 35 had said in Lebanon he would unstop the ears so that the Lebanon people would then go out and proclaim the gospel. Isaiah 35 was being fulfilled right in front of their eyes. We looked at this last time. Well, now we have another sort of series of events. And these two events, the symmetry here, which is absolutely beautiful, now we have the healing of a deaf man. So eyes and ears together. The healing of a blind man and the healing, I'm sorry, today the healing of a blind man, you have the deaf and now the blind. And what does that lead to, which I didn't read in the next section of Mark? The greatest moment in the Gospels of the confession, you are the Christ. Finally, we got there. Now, Jesus, in these miracles, is doing something that's somewhat puzzling to us. He's communicating in his actions that this was a hard thing to do. Now, it wasn't hard for Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, he wanted us to understand this took a lot of work and was a slow process, which is really encouraging, by the way. You'll see. But it seemed to be that nothing happened quickly when it came to eyes and ears. And Jesus had now to make this very clear, because now this concludes this section we've been studying that began last time with the healing of the deaf man. That concluded the section that began with the feeding of the 5,000. Today, everything's repeated again. This is deja vu. That's why I took the big section and big picture on this. It's a fascinating thing because now Mark is repeating the story. It starts with the feeding of the 4,000 and now ends with the healing of a blind man. There's two major sections here. So this is round two today. Will they get it? Will they get it? A feeding, a confrontation with the Pharisees, and a challenge that leads finally to, you are the Christ. We believe. That's where we are. In verse 1 of chapter 8, we open up chapter 8, and we read that in those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, they had nothing to eat. And he called his disciples to them, and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and they have nothing to eat. First feeding was in Israel. Second feeding is in dog country, Gentile country. Think about the training that's going on here for the future. He's opening up to the Gentiles. The Syrophoenician woman had said, it's not right, I understand, to take what's holy and give to the dogs. I know what I am. I don't argue. And Jesus says, you're right. Great is your faith. I open it to you. The same word now for the Gentiles is welled up with compassion in him, a deep word that he is so full of compassion and overtaken with compassion. This is what's being communicated. That in deep concern for them, he's now concerned to feed them. It really is a loaded sort of test, again, for the disciples. I am really concerned about this multitude, dear disciples. I'm really concerned about it, that they're going to faint on the way. They've come from really far. I'm so concerned. What should we do? What should we do? This is the sense of it. Now, the first feeding, remember, when Jesus had fed the 5,000, the disciples were concerned that the multitude had nothing to eat. Remember what they said? They had come to Jesus and said, listen, the multitude's been with us now for these days. They're hungry. Send them away that they may go get something to eat. They may go buy food and eat. Remember what Jesus said? You give them something to eat. What do you mean you give them something to eat? We only have a few fish and loaves. What do you mean give them something to eat? And then right in front of them, he makes them all sit in the green grass. And no, we're no longer in Israel because it's not green grass. And notice the symmetry here. Now we're just in the field, in the dirt with this group. But notice there that he sits them all down and he begins to break the bread, giving thanks. And I mean, that just kept flowing from the disciples' hands. They're handing it out. Very similar to how we do communion. From the disciples' hands are handing it out, and they are just overfilled with food. Their bellies are stuffed. They take up 12 baskets of food. Well, Mark kept telling us after that they didn't get it. They didn't get it. Mark even would say later, the disciples' hearts were still hardened because they didn't understand about the loaves. Well, here we are again. Round two. Roles are now reversed. I'm concerned for this multitude, dear disciples. They're hungry. What should we do? See the test? Ready? What do you think the disciples should say at this moment? Here's what they said. Verse 4. How can one feed these people with bread in this desolate place? You've got to be kidding me. You wonder, one pastor said that later on, you can imagine the apostles after the ascended Lord had happened. They're all sitting there around one day and they're hungry and they want to feed the multitude and they start laughing. Hey, how are we going to feed people in this desolate place? How stupid a question it was, right? They should have known by now. Jesus goes on to feed this multitude. And this same miracle is again repeated. You read that they all ate and were satisfied. And now 7 baskets are taken up. Full. Now, Jesus was never about filling bellies, was he? He cared about that. Of course he did. He cares to feed. But in every feeding event we've learned in the Gospels, Jesus was illustrating and teaching a spiritual truth. In the first feeding, what was his great concern? His great concern was when he saw that they were hungry, the next phrase was, and he went and he taught them. He spent all these hours teaching them about him. And John would explain this. Disciple John, who sat there and heard all of this, and you know John 6 with these feeding events, how John spoke of these feeding events when he said, he is the bread come down from heaven. That whoever eats of this bread will live forever. Well, Jesus is now testing them. I'm concerned about their weariness in the wilderness, and I'm concerned about them being faint. What was the promise? Maybe some of your favorite Old Testament verses. One of them always made a promise about the Lord and faintness, didn't he? Didn't the Lord? But they will wait for the Lord. And when he comes, he's going to renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. I'm worried about them being faint. Who's here? Who's standing here? Well, he's the bread, isn't he? The scriptures have told us that he's the bread. I'm the bread of life, that whoever comes to me, whoever comes and believes in me shall never hunger, shall never grow faint. Dear disciples, I'm worried about them. They're faint. What should we do? Well, how can somebody get bread in the wilderness? How do we do that? The disciples, dumb as a doornail. These miracles are a clear revelation of who he is. How could you see that by now, all this stuff, and still say something like that? And it just illustrates the truth of our problem, I believe, and that's what Mark is wanting us. I think Mark delighted writing this. You'll see in a moment that Mark was really showing their stupidity. You could tell people about Jesus until they're blue in the face. The natural man just doesn't receive it. He doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God because he's spiritually dead, spiritually discerned. And they will not hear, and they will not see. What in the world is going on? I mean, that's my question as I was working through this week. What is preventing them from seeing, and what is preventing them from hearing? And I believe the answer to that comes in what follows. On the heels of this second great miracle, Guess who comes barging out? Here come the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, we read in verse 11, came out and they began to argue with him. And they came to him, "Hey, we want you to show us a sign from heaven." It says they're testing him. And you say again, are you kidding? Have you not seen them? Have you not seen them everywhere? He had just done one. 4,000 people could testify that their bellies are full in the wilderness from just a few fish. And the next thing we read from Jesus, now think of the deaf man, when he goes, touches, spits, touches. The next thing we read from Jesus, as he heard this, is that he goes again in front of everyone. This was a giant spiritual lesson for his disciples. He sighs deeply over the blindness and the deafness of the Pharisees. And then he says to them, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation." I'm not doing that. And you stop and you say, well, signs have been given to this generation all over the place. I mean, what do you mean? You just did one to this generation. Signs have been given to this generation everywhere. What Jesus was simply saying was, I refuse to be controlled by your unbelief. I refuse. No sign will ever be given in response to that attitude. And not just that. You will never be able to perceive or hear or understand my signs when I do them because of that attitude. Well, now it starts to come together a little bit. He walked away from them at that moment, shaking the dust off his feet, illustrating, I do not put up with that kind of attitude and rejection. Done. They get into the boat, they go to the other side, and lo and behold, and here's the connection, the disciples are worried about their bellies. They forgot to take bread. Seeing this? They were worried because they only had one loaf of bread with them in the boat. Now, this is two miracles now of feeding 9,000 people fed. 9,000. Mark, as I said, must have enjoyed this. Jesus takes the moment and I believe gives us the great explanation of what leads to people being blind and deaf to him. Verse 15 is really big. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Dear disciples, I have got to tell you something. I've got a great caution for you. The bread you're seeking, it's tainted. You say, what in the world? What do you mean? Pharisees had just come saying, give us a sign. They didn't want to believe that. They didn't want to believe a sign about Jesus. All they cared about was to catch Jesus in a trap. Jesus looks at them and says, I got a great caution for you guys. You need to know that there is something that is of great threat to you hearing and you seeing me. Remember, this is all training. It's the leaven of Herod and it's the leaven of the Pharisees. There are approaches to me that if you accept and you begin to entertain in your minds and you let it take root in your hearts, it is poison to the bread. It's a kind of unbelief that is deadly, and you need to know about it. What is it? Well, Herod's is not real hard, is it? When we look at the life of Herod, he had one great intention. What was it? To kill Jesus. He hated Jesus. Jesus said, you tell that fox. He hated Jesus. He was a threat to him. All Herod lived to do was stamp out the name of Jesus. The Pharisees were the same, of course, but they were much more dangerous, for theirs came under the guise of religion. What was the Pharisees' approach? Jesus in chapter 7 had assaulted their repulsive form religion. Remember this. In exposing they had dead hearts in their approach to God, they were constantly trying to undermine Jesus, undermine his message. They would never listen to it. They would never hear it. They were constantly criticizing it. And Jesus is now putting these two responses together, and he's saying, I need you to beware of something. You have no idea of the effect of this kind of leaven in the kingdom. So please listen carefully, he's saying. Carefully, be cautioned about this kind of leaven. It corrupts your view of the bread. It blinds you. It stops up your ears. Peter, later on, was so moved by this. Remember in 2 Peter when he would write about the blinding and hardening effect on the human heart? I read it last time. I just want you to hear it one more time. He says, you guys have all been given precious promises, great and precious promises. So here's your responsibility in the Christian life. You need, in all diligence, to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Why? Well, if you abound in that, you're not going to be lacking in the knowledge of Jesus, he says. But here's what happens. He who lacks in these things, it has an effect on the knowledge of Jesus, and he says, is short-sighted even to blindness. Boy, he learned it. There was a leaven that blinded him to Jesus. I think we're really getting at something big. The Syrophoenician woman had come, and he's training them. And look at the simplicity with which she came to Jesus. Look at the heart with which she came to Jesus. I need to eat. I know I'm a dog. I'll eat the crumbs. You don't have to tell me I'm a dog. I know I'm a dog. Call me what you will. I'm still needy.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.